It's certainly a great blessing to be back at Camp Creek Church, and certainly have enjoyed the wonderful preaching tonight and the good song service, and certainly have enjoyed the fellowship before the service this evening. I've had a radio broadcast for over 20 years, and it's possible to just speak for just a few minutes, because they cut you off if you go beyond that. So if you'll give me your attention for just a few minutes, and we'll try to say a few things in conjunction with what Brother John has said and also the good preaching that Brother Dickey's done tonight. God's Word is filled with the truths that comfort us in time of difficulty. What a blessing to realize that we serve a God that is not aged, a God that hasn't changed, a God that rules and reigns, a God that has promised not only to be with us in life, but also to be with us in death. The prophet Isaiah, or God says through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 43, beginning with verse 1, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not." I love the fear not to the Bible. It's like Brother Dickey said, none of us are supermen. Sometimes it takes God taking us through various scenes of life to bring us down, to make us realize our dependence upon Him. And God uses the trials and the troubles to show us our utter weakness and His sufficiency. None of us can make it in life without the Lord. It's that point in life when we realize that God is our strength, right, and that we're weak. Yes, by nature, man is proud and he likes to feel that he can handle his own life. And he really doesn't need anyone, and would like to think he doesn't need the Lord. One time, Muhammad Ali, when he was in his prime, he got on an airplane one time, and the flight attendant came by him and told him to buckle up. And he replied, he said, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." And the flight attendant said, "Superman don't need no airplane." We're none super. We need the Lord. Amen. And it's a blessing when God brings us to that position that we realize that we're dependent upon Him. Right. It's a blessing when one feels his need of a Savior. What a blessing it is when one feels his own depravity and recognizes that he doesn't have the price to pay. When you realize that it would take another to pay your sin debt. See, yes, God is the God of all comfort. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he says that he is the Father of mercies and he is the God of all comfort. Now tonight, when man says something, he may not follow through. But God is as sure as his word. When he says something, you can rest assured it will come to pass. Amen. Here in the book of Isaiah chapter 43, notice what God says. He says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. What a wonderful verse. What a wonderful thought to ponder tonight, that we belong to God. We are His. God knows us by name. In the book of John chapter 10, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He said, I know my sheep. Now listen, he didn't say in that verse, I know about my sheep. Now, he does know about his sheep, but it goes beyond that. He says, I know my sheep. He is speaking about his love that was treasured up in Christ even before the world began. Tonight, we belong to God, first of all, by creation. You young people tonight, when you begin to think about how blessed you are, if someone were to ask you, who made you? Who made you tonight? Did you know God is the creator God? He says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob. In the very beginning of time, God created all things in 6 24-hour days. And the last thing that God created was man. I think it's significant. If God had made man on the first day, then man would try to take credit for the natural creation. But he made man on the last day. He made man out of the dust of the earth. He made man upright. Now, he didn't say to Adam, see, tonight, not only are we his by creation, we are his by calling. He calls us from a state of death and sin to a state of life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is natural life tonight conditional? Now, God had made man out of the dust of the earth. He didn't say to Adam, now, Adam, if you will take a drink of water, if you will take the first step, then I will give you life. But you notice that God created man out of the dust of the earth, and it states that God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Life precedes action. That's true in the natural realm, and that is true also in the spiritual realm. In the book of Acts chapter 17, he speaks about how God doesn't need anything. Aren't you thankful that God doesn't need anything from man? But then he says in that same chapter, in Acts chapter 17, it is in him that we live and move and have our very being. Notice, life comes before the moving. It's that way in the natural realm, and it's that way in the spiritual realm. When you see someone that loves God, when you see someone that's seeking God, when you see someone that enjoys the preaching of the gospel, that one has already been sought out by God himself. Isaiah says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Not only are we God's by creation, we also belong to God by redemption. The book of 1 Peter chapter 1, he says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ. We're his by creation. We're his by redemption. And it gets better than that. He says, I have called thee by thy name. He says in the book of John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. I and my Father are one. Think for just a moment. You belong to God. You're His tonight. He's loved you even before the world began. He sent His Son to redeem you. He has called you by His irresistible grace. Heaven awaits you when this life is ended. We have an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and fadeth not away, that's reserved in heaven. Somebody may say, well, how about the trials and the troubles and the heartaches of this life? If you notice in this passage, after verse 1 comes verse 2. He says, now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. And then He says, when thou passeth through the waters. He didn't say if. He says, when you pass through the waters, He says, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Did you know tonight what the gospel does? The gospel does comfort. That's why the same prophet says, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfort to Jerusalem. Cry to her that her warfare is accomplished, her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sin. The gospel reminds us of the greatness of our God. In the book of Isaiah chapter 40, the prophet says, O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, he says, lift up thy voice, lift it up. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. When you go through the trials, when you go through the difficulties, when you go through the fire, where do you find your strength? It is only in Christ. It is in the Lord. The Apostle Paul, in the book of 2 Corinthians, states how pressed down he had been at one time. Notice with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the language of the Apostle Paul. He says in verse 8, we would not have you, brethren, to be ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. Tonight, all of us have trouble. The Apostle Paul had trouble. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant of the trouble that came to us in Asia. He then says, we were pressed down above measure in so much that we despaired even of life. Notice how down Paul was. Ever been a time in your life when you maybe had gone through some real dark seasons of pain, trouble, heartache? And maybe as Paul did at the moment, you may think, well, I didn't think Paul ever got discouraged. Paul said he was pressed down above measure in so much that he even despaired of life. But what does it behoove the child of God to do? We are to think biblically. The Apostle Paul remembered something. He said, we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. Oh, tonight, who do we trust in? Who do we trust in when the trials come upon us? He says in our text tonight, he says, when you pass through the water, when you go through the fire, he says, I will be with thee. Tonight, are you leaning upon him? Are you dependent upon him? While Paul said, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. Notice verse 10, he says, who delivered us from so great a death, and hath delivered, and will yet deliver. Look back. Has God not delivered you in the past? Has he not strengthened you in the past? Paul said, when I forgot about that, he said, I was pressed down and almost thought, what's the use? He said, but then we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in the one that can raise the dead. What is our greatest enemy tonight? It's death. Right. But my friends, Jesus Christ was not a victim of the cross. He was victorious. He not only defeated sin, he defeated Satan and death itself. Amen. And my friends, if death has been defeated, we know as we live in this world, we find our comfort, our strength, and our peace in the Lord Jesus because he has promised to be with us. We sang that beautiful hymn tonight. It is well with my soul. The man that wrote that hymn, H.G. Spafford, had lost much of his holdings in the Chicago fire. His doctor had told him to take a sabbatical and to get away. He sent his wife and his four daughters ahead of him to go to England. He would join them later. There was an accident as they were making that voyage, and the daughters died at sea. His wife arrived in England, and she sent Mr. Spafford a telegram, and all it said was, saved alone. And he knew about the accident. He boarded a ship, and he started for England. They came to the place, and the captain told him, this is the place we think the ship went down. Mr. Spafford went to the stateroom, and he penned those beautiful words down that we love to sing tonight. Can you imagine losing four children? When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. How can one find such peace in a time of great sorrow? I buried a lady recently. I did not know her that well. She had met me at a nursing home and heard me preach several times, and she had requested that I preach her funeral. She'd had three children, and she lost them all in death. This woman was a woman of great faith, like Job. Even when Job had lost not only his wealth, but his family. Notice what Job said. Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave. The Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. My friends, God in his grace can give peace and comfort like no other can. He is the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort. I thank you for your real good attention, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.